You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The Michigan Department of Environmental Quality is now considering a proposal that could put Michigan in the forefront of potash mining. It turns out there's a treasure trove of potash sitting beneath our state, and extracting it to be used in fertilizer production could pump as much as $65 billion into Michigan's economy. But there is concern, serious concern, the process could endanger the surrounding environment and groundwater. Indeed, the very same groundwater that Nestle taps for its Ice Mountain bottled water in Osceola County. Geologist Bill Harrison is here with us now. Bill is director of the Michigan Geological Repository for Research and Education at Western Michigan University. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
So you are the one that studies all the underground reserves we have in Michigan. So you're the one to ask this question. Just what is potash and why does Michigan have so much of it underground?
Potash is a naturally occurring mineral. It's actually a salt, very much like the rock salt that is mined and spread on our roads, or the table salt that we put in our food, or any other chemical that comes out of salt deposits. And these salts are the result of long ago evaporation of ocean water that covered the state of Michigan. And as that water evaporated, the water went away into the atmosphere, but the solid material, the salt in salt water, crystallized out and formed these deposits on the seafloor.
And potash is used for making fertilizer, correct?
That's correct. If you look at a bag of fertilizer, you'll see three numbers on there, which tell you something about the quality of the fertilizer. N, P, and K are those three elements, and N is nitrogen, P is phosphorus, and the K stands for potassium. It's one of three major ingredients, and plants can't really function efficiently if they don't have potassium. It facilitates them being able to uptake water.
So how do you feel Michigan's potash deposit and purity compares to the big potash players on the world stage, countries like Canada and Russia?
Potash is a relatively rare substance, and you can imagine that there's not that many places in the world where you have evaporated the oceans to concentrate large thicknesses of these salts. And the Michigan Basin, which is, it's really a geological bowl in a sense. During much of the history of Michigan, the ocean water covered the state, and the seafloor kept subsiding and creating more space to accumulate these deposits. So over time, thousands of feet of these salts, along with lots of other kinds of minerals, accumulated under Michigan. That's happened in a few other places in Russia and in Western Canada. We see large deposits of that. And in the U.S., in Utah and New Mexico, there are some deposits. But most of the U.S., and in fact most of the world, doesn't have that kind of setting of an environment that would cause that. So we're really fortunate here in Michigan. We have lots of natural resources that have accumulated over time, and this potash is just one of the new ones that hopefully we're going to be able to start developing.
Well, and we have a company called Michigan Potash that's asked the DEQ for this permission to begin extracting potash at the rate of 650,000 tons a year with a facility in southern Osceola County, basically 8 solution mining wells, 3 processed brine disposal wells in Everett Township, using up to 725 million gallons of groundwater every year. Tell us, how do they extract potash? Is it akin to fracking?
No, it's this layer of salt deposits is about 300 to 400 feet thick, and it's at a depth of about 7,000 feet below the surface. You can't really dig a mine that deep like the salt mines that's under Detroit. What you have to do is drill a well and then pump water down there, and the salt dissolves in water, and then they pump the brine or the salt saturated water back to the surface, and they have large evaporating tanks, and they evaporate it, and then they collect the solid material once they've removed all the water from that brine solution.
Can we talk a little more about that?
Sure.
Because I you know, when we think of pumping that water down, I think a lot of us think that is pretty similar to fracking. So can we talk more about how it compares to fracking?
Okay. Fracking is a completion technology that's used in certain kinds of oil and gas wells. And what it does is they inject water and usually some other solid material like sand or some specially engineered little spheres. And they inject it at high pressure so it breaks the rock. It actually fractures the rock. And so I like to call fracking hydraulic fracturing, because it tells you what is actually happening. You're using water, the hydraulic part, and you're fracturing the rock down underground somewhere.
And then compare and contrast that with what will be done to extract the potash, because we know that there are disposal wells and water is going back in.
That's right.
So compare and contrast for us.
Okay, so there's no fracturing involved in this process. All they do is they pump water down. You know, if you take a handful of salt and throw it in water, it'll eventually dissolve. So their purpose is to go down and get this solid layer of salt, pump water into it, and it starts to dissolve. And as that salt goes into solution, it becomes a brine. They pump that brine to the surface, extract the salt, pump the water back down again, dissolve more salt. So it's an iterative process. At first, there'll be just a little tiny area from the drilling of the well. Maybe it's an 8 or a 10-inch diameter hole that they've drilled. And then the water will start to corrode on the inside of that well bore, and it'll eventually enlarge and enlarge and enlarge until it becomes a cavern underground that's maybe 50 or 100 feet across and maybe 100 feet tall. So what they're doing is they're actually creating an artificial cavern down underground, and all the solid that they remove from there becomes the potash that they're commercially after.
So when you hear concerns voiced by environmental groups with Michigan Potash wanting to extract almost 2 million of gallons of water every day, that's 725 million gallons of groundwater every year, and that's more than five times what Nestle's drawing for its bottled water operation just a few miles away. How much of a concern, in your view, is this large volume of water usage?
Well, first of all, that permit that the DEQ is asking to allow, that's the maximum amount of water they can use. It's my understanding that they don't always use that much. There's a recycled component as they're evaporating the water that can capture the steam and then reuse that. So that's the maximum amount that's being used. I don't think we necessarily should assume that that's actually what's going to be used every day.
But is that sustainable when you've got these two companies pumping out that much water every year? Because certainly people who are with environmental groups are very concerned about this sensitive wetland area with these plants there. Is it sustainable?
It depends on where the water's actually being withdrawn. Most people's homes or any kind of domestic production of water comes from approximately the upper 100 to 200 feet under the ground. And there are freshwater deposits in that region that go down at least 700 or 800 feet. I believe the Nestle's plant removes water from much deeper, so they're not taking it from the same zone. Back in the ice ages, a few tens of thousands of years ago, as the glaciers melted, they left a lot of sand and gravel all over the surface of Michigan. All that sand and gravel now down to up to 1,000 feet is filled with fresh water. So there's a hugely thick interval, and it's hard to comprehend, but the amount of water that's stored in these underground aquifers, they're called, or just in these sand and gravel formations, is many times the volume of the water in the Great Lakes. It's just an enormous quantity of water. So hundreds of thousands or even millions of gallons of water is less than hundredths of percent. So it's a very small total of the amount of water that's in the system.
Bill, what of migration of waste into the groundwater? What happens to that salt brine that comes from extracting the potash and that production?
First of all, they recycle a lot of that water. So there's a small amount that's left at the end of the process. You know, if they're moving 1,000 gallons, there would be a few tens of gallons left at the end of the process. The rest they would be recycling. But the rules are that they have to re-inject that into a deep formation that's well below the freshwater zone. So those disposal wells that you mentioned, those would be the places where they inject that, and they're going to go down thousands of feet below the surface. And they'll be injecting that brine back into brine-bearing formations.
Can a balance be struck between the environment and industry when it comes to potash mining? I guess I'm asking, do you believe the environment can indeed be protected even as all this potash is being extracted?
Oh, absolutely. And Michigan has demonstrated this with lots of other extractive industries. Governor Snyder had a symposium in Lansing a few weeks ago on extractive industries. And Michigan produces enormous amounts of natural resources for the benefit of our society. And there's really been very minimal impact from the extraction of all these natural resources. The state regulates all of these wells, and they have very strict regulations that control how the well is constructed and how the well is operated. And in fact, the state of Michigan has been a model for many other states. Our state geologist has gone to other states and testified before their legislatures when they are compiling their rules for regulating wells. And Michigan is being used as a model because of our really good record and also our high quality of regulations.
So I guess bottom line, how would you address concerns of people who put in public comment when that period was open, who are opposed to seeing this kind of activity?
As an educator, I'm always encouraging people to gain as much knowledge as they can, because once you understand how various processes work, various industrial processes, or how the earth is constructed, you have a much better understanding and the ability to make decisions on risk rather than just assuming a position without really very much basic knowledge. And I think that being able to get educated about the volumes of water that are available, what the process is, what the benefits are versus the risks, I think it really helps the public if they become more knowledgeable about these whole activities.
Bill Harrison is a geologist with Western Michigan University, where he directs the Michigan Geological Repository for Research and Education. Bill, thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.